We come on this last day of our virtual tour, as we recall the year 2013, to the last of our six cathedrals, St. Carthage's Lismore, and words would fail me to tell of its spiritual atmosphere, its stained glass, its carvings, its whole atmosphere, which makes it, as has for centuries been the case, a great pilgrim site. But I might draw particular attention to something many visitors don't manage to see, but provides a great welcome if you arrange to do so. The Cotton Library at the side of the cathedral, one of the few authentic Irish cathedral libraries that is still as it was, acquiring occasional famous books for safeguarding and to enrich the collection, one of which recently, thanks to great local public endeavour and support from organisations in the wider community, was the early Irish translation of the Bible, the Bedell Bible, associated with William Bedell, the Bishop of Kilmore, who perhaps was the first person to realise with passion that successful work by the Church of Ireland in terms of evangelisation and mission required the use of the Irish language. And there it is in the Cotton Library now. 2013. It saw the first papal resignation since the Middle Ages, and in very different circumstances. Pope Benedict XVI stood down by his own choice because he realised that age and frailty, although certainly not intellectual capacity, were making it difficult for him to discharge his duties. Benedict had always been seen as rather an arch conservative, particularly by his critics, but he is a great and insightful and imaginative bishop, biblical scholar. I often go to his work on the Gospels when I want to interpret a different phrase, a difficult phrase. For example, recently on one of my Sunday online reflections, it was he who helped me grapple with that phrase, "In my Father's house are many mansions," and he reflects on how mansions may be, as it were, a series of stages as we travel through the world beyond and come to a greater intensity of love echoing the divine. He had an enormous friendship, and they were, of course, intellectual colossi, both of them with Archbishop Rowan Williams of Canterbury. But whatever about his presumed conservatism, nothing was more radical or significant than the manner of his departure, than his resignation. For at once, it turned the papacy from a monarchical role to be held for life to a servant role to be taken up and laid down for the good of the whole church and the kingdom. There was something collegial about that. And I remember watching his resignation speech. He did it actually in Latin, and it took quite a while for what he was saying to sink in among his hearers, and you could almost see the penny beginning to drop here and there around the hall. Essentially, he's had a good retirement, not interfering, devoting himself to prayer and study, meeting his doctoral students annually, those many people whose doctorates he saw to fruition, playing the piano. And there was the lovely and, of course, highly imaginative, but nevertheless very captivating film of the two popes. There's a story just to show how Pope Benedict appreciates the boundaries and nuances of retirement, that some cardinal or two who were perhaps a bit aggrieved with Pope Francis and thought they'd find a sympathetic conservative ear down the garden where the former Pope lives went to pay a call on him. This may be apocryphal, ready to grumble a bit. And instantly Pope Emeritus Benedict said, "Friends, I am not the Pope, but you might like a glass of wine." Will other popes follow suit and lay down their burden at an appropriate time of their choice, taking away from themselves away from that monarchical instinct? We shall see. But at any rate, it's a very long time since there was an assumption that Anglican bishops kept going, married to their diocese, until the bitter end. And so Pope Benedict, I suppose in a way, awaits eternity remembering his own words when he stood on the balcony of St. Peter's after his election, "What is one but a simple labourer in the vineyard of the Lord?"